This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 153. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your other's hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence in 2022, Amanda. I am Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on our Facebook page at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022.
I am so looking forward to 2022 because I believe a lot of things will just, if you repeat it, it'll happen. But I believe a lot of things will get back to normal-ish. I'm hoping.
We'll see.
But I'm really hoping for a good year. Do you have any goals or anything
for this year? No, just stay the course is the goal this year.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. I don't have any like financial goals of any kind. I should, but I don't.
That's not true. You do. Your goal is to continue to max out your contributions, right?
Yeah. That's almost my to-do list because it's so automated now in my mind. I just keep doing the same thing because it works. So why would I change it?
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not a goal. Maybe it's a plan rather than a goal.
There you go. I just stick with the plan. If the plan works, you review your plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do your plan, you make it, you do it, and then you make adjustments to it and move forward. You know, I don't want to tweak too much because if it works, what if you did something wrong? Like, all of a sudden I'm going to do some crypto crazy or something like that. No, you just don't know.
You don't know.
Go with the things that have a long track record to get us out of this. And I think it'd be good. I think it's a good lesson to learn. Stop touching it. The only other thing I want to do this year, you ready for this?
Yes.
It's not financial.
Okay.
I'll make it quick. I do have a goal.
Okay.
I'm going to get my pilot's license this year.
Oh, boy.
Why does everybody say that? Probably because they see my driving. Now, I'm going to get my pilot license and then
Are you going to fly once you have your license? Like, what's the goal?
I don't know. Just get one of those little Cessnas and putt around, I guess. I don't know. But then.
So you're going to buy a plane?
No, you can get in clubs. You can either, if you buy a plane, you might as well get a swimming pool or what else can you throw your wallet at? It's a very draining thing to do. But you can join a club. So you have partial ownership. So you can get in groups and do it that way to really bring the cost way down.
Yeah.
But here is the key. Here's what I want to do after that. A paramotor. I want to do paramotoring. Do you know what a paramotor is?
No, I don't. I was just going to say, I don't even know what that is. Well,
there's a lot of people in Florida that do this, apparently. And one of the schools is in Florida or California, the better ones. It's that big fan you put in your back. You put a big fan, you strap it on your back, and you putt around with a parachute.
I've seen that before.
So there's a lot of people in Florida apparently do that, and out west, and they go through Utah in the canyons and flying around. And you don't even need a license to do that, apparently. But I think being a pilot first and doing it might be a little safer. You might be doing this podcast by yourself by the end of the year. All right, so what do we do? Anyway, if you want goals, there's my goal.
Well, that's a great goal, actually. Yeah,
because I want to experience a lot of things. I think that would be the most experiential thing I could ever do.
Yeah.
Is get me a paramotor and go around the United States and flying around all this neat things. And I don't know. And hopefully I don't die. We'll see how that works out for me.
And hopefully not die. Yeah.
Where are we doing this podcast?
Well, as usual, we've got a number of questions from our fans.
Awesome. All right. First question is, best platform or app for buying stocks? Now, before you say anything, Amanda, one thing that you don't like to talk about is us doing stock things. But I think the way I want to answer this will help out a lot of people.
Okay.
You have stocks. I have stocks, but we've gone through the baby steps where we can do that now. We've already done our 401ks, our IRAs. We've maxed all that stuff out. So, and what you can do after that is you can do some stocks in a percentage, because you are risking a little bit more when you do that. I purchase my stocks. I don't use Robinhood. I don't use all these other things. I just stick with the platforms I do with my IRA yet, my 457. So I use Schwab. I don't get fancy with that, because the stocks I pick, Amanda, are the ones that I'm going to hold long term. I'm not day trading.
Right.
Is the point I'm getting at. It's buy and hold. I buy companies that will be here a while. I buy and hold it and maybe change it like a year or two out. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have my retirement accounts are with Schwab, and I also do my stock picks through Schwab.
Yeah.
I know in the past we've talked about things like Webull, though. I mean, they have some great tools that help you do, what was it, like mock trading? So you could practice without actually putting any money on the line. That was kind of nice.
That's a good point. Usually I'm trading within my IRA or 457. So within that, to protect that retirement account, I'm buying my ETFs or stocks within my 457. I just do it right in the Schwab account. So yeah, that's how I do it. I keep it simple. And no, I'm not going to day trade Hertz or GameStop. I'm not going to do all that nonsense. I used to, Amanda. I used to day trade. I hated it. You want to talk about stress?
Yeah, that's very stressful.
How often did I win? I would win, but I'd also lose. It's like, man, it's a lot of work for a whole lot. No, it's not worth it. Yeah, I've grown. And you know what? I'm doing tons better by not doing that. So y'all do you, but that's what we do. Question number two, Amanda, this is going to be for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
Is now still a good time to refinance your home? What are the rates for a 30-year fixed?
Well, so I'm not going to jump into rates because they change on a regular basis. Yeah. And even your lender will tell you, like, they're changing daily. So that's why you have to lock things in. So we're not going to talk about rates, but generally they're still really close to all-time lows. They're slightly higher than that now. So, I mean, it depends. If you bought when they were at all-time low, then it probably doesn't make sense to refinance. If you bought, 5 years ago when things were much higher, then it might make sense. The biggest rule, though, is refinancing is a tool that you should use only if you're planning to stay in the house for at least 5 more years. Because, again, there are a number of costs that go along with refinancing that are in addition to, it's just like closing, right? So you have some of the same closing costs that you did when you initially purchased the house.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you're going to get your money back on those. So 3 to 5 years is the general rule. If you're planning to leave sooner than that, then it may not be worth refinancing, because you'll just reduce your monthly payment, but you're actually not going to reduce your principal that you owe.
There you go.
So make sure you run the numbers for everything, that it's not just the payment. So this is what people get trapped into thinking, is it's a great deal, is because these lenders will only focus on, well, we can reduce your monthly payment by $300. Well, what does that really mean? Are you reducing the principal overall, or are you extending the time that you have to pay it off? Because if you're refinancing and you right now only have like 17 years left on your mortgage, but you refinance for a new 25-year loan, like, that's not a deal, because now you've just added 8 more years that you have to be in debt.
There you go.
Yeah. So make sure you're looking at the whole picture, not just your payment.
Should we discuss the 30-year part of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We prefer you do 15-year, whether you're buying a new home or refinancing. And why is that, Amanda?
Because you're going to pay less overall, like hundreds of thousands of dollars less in interest. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do a loan for 30 years, but I'll pay it off in 15.
And 98% people actually do not end up doing that. Even though you have good intentions, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
So, and here's the other part about the 15-year. If you can't afford the 15-year, you can't afford the house. It's a way of keeping yourself from becoming house poor. Did I send you that article the other day? They did a survey. 49% of Americans feel they are house poor. 49%. Wow. That just came out like a week ago. I saw an article. Probably didn't send that one, but I'm like, oh my God. They feel like all they do is work to pay their mortgage. Yeah. That's sad. And when you do these 30-year mortgages and these fancy packages that you have all the names for, but you know, it's a way to get you in there. And it's like, you can't get out of it. And the banks are reeling in the money. They're just reeling in. But that's not the point of it. It's a way of keeping yourself from buying too much house. But people want to, you know, show off their houses and put them on Instagram and social media again. Just drives people to buy more than what they need. You know, if you can't afford the 15 year, you can't afford the house.
Right.
That's what
right.
we're trying to do. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be house poor.
No. Yeah, because then what? You can't do anything else. Life is about experiences, right, Amanda?
I think so. Yeah.
You know, paramotoring around in canyons. Hey, I'm going to have a two-seater. You can come ride.
Sounds great.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on Money with Amanda and Craig. Check us out on Facebook or follow our Facebook page and make sure you hit the follow and the bell. It's facebook.com/rockonthemoney and also our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have a ton of episodes out there all over the place, Amanda.
I would say there's probably at least 152 other episodes.
At least. And there's a lot of mini, there's best ofs and stuff like that. So there's a lot of episodes out there. Especially follow us on the Facebook page. I'm trying to figure out, why is our podcast not showing up on our page? It shows up in the news feed, but it will not show up on the page because that was part of Facebook's. I'm trying to get that fixed before we go live. I want all that. Yeah, I see it show up in the feed, but something's wrong with our account. I don't know. We'll get that fixed. But anyway, by the way, Amanda, I don't know if anyone can notice. Your voice sounds amazing today. That new microphone that you have, your voice sounds warmer. That's what they say in audio.
It probably just sounds more tired because I'm burnt out and exhausted from the last couple of weeks.
You work hard. Do you recommend being a lawyer?
No. Okay. Not unless you hate life. I wouldn't wish it on my enemies at this point. No.
You didn't even let me finish the question before you answered that. That was a very certain answer right there.
No.
All right.
No.
It's not
as glamorous as it looks on television. I promise you. It's a life of... You just get paid to deal with everyone else's problems. And so that means everyone's problems are your problems. And, you know, you have the same number of hours in a day as they do, but you've got to solve all these problems. So,
yeah, we have 2 more questions, Amanda.
Yes.
Check out this question. Anyone have their own passive income? I've seen a lot of videos on self-serve car washes and laundromats on YouTube. Just wondering what else people do to increase their income.
Well, so I'm not sure I would call any of these passive income.
I think that's why I added this. I'm like, I don't think they understand what passive income is because last time I checked, because I know someone that has car washes.
Yeah, and I knew someone that had a laundromat, and it was like daily work had to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what, because you have rental properties. So I think you're more closer to passive. I don't have any passive income. So do you want to talk about what it actually is so people can understand what that?
Yeah. So passive income means that you're making money while you sleep, which I guess arguably you could be making money at these self-serve car washes while you sleep. But then when you're awake, you have to go, you know, maintain the hoses and everything else.
You got to put the barrels of chemicals in there, the tubes, you got to prime everything.
Or you have to pay someone to do it. Right.
Like, right.
So either you're doing it or you're paying someone else to do it.
Right.
So passive, in my mind, that would be something like, hey, you wrote a book and you're getting royalties every time it sells. Like you literally have to do nothing else now. And the money just keeps rolling in.
Right. Laundromat's the same way. There's a lot of maintenance involved with that too. You got to keep those machines running. So
yeah, you got to like empty out the quarters all the time and, put quarters in the quarter machine. There's a lot to do with quarters with laundromats.
See, I'm starting to get these questions the last couple of weeks. Here's where this is starting up. There's a very large game streamer, and she is making news. She bought a gas station.
Yeah.
A month ago. She's buying these different things like this. And so people are like, oh, well, she's just buying these things. Let me buy one too.
Yeah.
Okay, last time I checked, a car wash is expensive.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, to buy one if you don't buy it.
What I learned on Breaking Bad is it's a great business to own if you need to like launder money.
Well, there you go. There you go. Hey, we could do a whole podcast about that.
Yeah, I don't think their laundromat, or their car wash, I mean, sorry. I don't think their car wash actually made any money. Just
so right. You know. Yeah. It's just a fun
car washes are not historically like cash cows.
Right. Now, a YouTuber, if you make a bunch of videos that are general in nature, like how to do a garden, how to do that, like very general, not like timely, like, I don't know. If I had to make a pandemic video, well, that's not going to be good. 2 years from now, maybe.
Let's hope not.
Maybe, hope not. 2 years. But if I do a whole tutorial thing about gardening or animals, that will be as relevant 10 years from now as now, right? If you make thousands of these videos, short videos on how to do things around your house, those can be watched 2, 3, 5 years from now. That can actually be considered passive income because that ad revenue will keep running. And YouTube actually recommends that if you want to be a YouTuber to do that, that you may not get viewers for a year, but once it starts up, you can actually get steady income from that. But the problem is, Amanda, it's a ton of work on the front end to get the passive on the back end.
Yeah. You know what else is passive income? Like if you're early in on a Ponzi scheme, then you have passive income.
Ooh, have you ever watched the show American Greed?
Yes.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for all these people to get caught up in that nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, that petrifies me more with having money and trusting someone like that. And then it just goes away and they don't get their money back. And your life is ruined. It's just, oh.
So anyway, I guess the moral here is that there's very few things in life that generate income that are actually passive.
Yeah.
Like even our rental properties, we had to do a lot of work to get them up running on the front end. On a regular basis, there's maintenance that goes into it. Now, sure, I pay a management company to take care of that, but that means someone's still taking care of it. There's still money going out in order to make sure it's managed.
I've seen a few people on YouTube. See, I watch all these videos too, because I'm really curious what's going on out there in the world. I've seen some people that do all the work on their own with rental properties. Then they call it passive when they hand it over to a management company. Would you call that passive at that point because you're not doing it? Someone else is?
I mean, yeah, because it feels pretty passive if you're not doing all the work. I mean, yeah, you just have to reply to emails like, hey, the water heater's broke. We're sending maintenance out. Do you approve? And you're like, yeah, I approve.
I got you.
Okay. So you're still involved from a managerial standpoint, but at a very high level and not actually having to be the one making phone calls, finding someone to go out there and do the repairs and all that, because that is a big pain. Mm. And you're not the one sending letters or running people down when they're late or they haven't paid their rent yet. Someone else is handling the collections. Gotcha. So,
all right. Yeah. Question number four, it is tax season. Sorry to depress everybody, but once again, taxes are here. So we got our first tax. This is when the tax questions show up. Here we go. So I started my own business this year.
Congrats.
A lot of people started their own businesses because of the pandemic. I was wondering how much I should hold back for taxes. I've been told by several numbers between 15 and 35%. What say you, Amanda?
I think you know what I'm going to say. It's two words.
I know. It's a quick answer, right?
It depends. Yeah.
Of course.
So, I mean, there's so many variables that go into business taxes. So what type of entity did you start? Did you start a sole proprietorship? Are you in a partnership? Do you have an LLC? Do you have a corporation? Are you a partnership, but you've elected to be taxed as an S corp? There are so many variables that go into tax. There's absolutely no way that anyone can give you any type of guess on this except your tax professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, are there other owners involved? Have you been paying estimated taxes along the way, or are you going to, because it's your first year, you haven't been paying any taxes along the way, then you may have to hold off a much higher percentage. You know, what type, are you selling goods? Have you been paying sales taxes as well? You might have fees and penalties if you haven't been doing your quarterly tax reports for sales. Sales and use tax is a big one. The other thing that creeps up on business owners, a lot of places have this really, I think it's a scam tax, where they tax you for the value of everything in your actual business.
Yeah.
I forget what that one's called. Do you remember?
No, I don't. But I know if you hold an inventory, that's really bad too. So if you have leftover inventory, that's why they try and clear out crap at the end of the year.
Yeah, there's inventory you get taxed on. You also get taxed on like the value of your office furniture, whatever you have in your building. Your local county is probably going to send you a tax bill. And if you aren't proactively sending them a list of what you have, they'll just make an estimate and you'll owe them the tax on that. And you'll have no appeal to that because you hadn't reported on time. You're going to have to find a tax professional who specializes in business taxes. Don't just go to your normal tax preparer for your individual, you know, tax returns. Make sure you're finding one who specializes or, you know, has the expertise in preparing business returns. And be prepared to pay for that tax return. It's going to be, you'll be surprised how much more expensive it is to prepare a tax return for a business than it is for an individual. Like, expect around $1,000 for adequate tax preparation.
And it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're like a florist or you do cookies, whatever, get with other people that do that and find out who they use. That way they're familiar with your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I go try and find I have somebody now, but trying to explain to someone as a gaming streamer. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, most people my age hate me that I'm playing video games, but trying to find someone that understands what I'm doing, you know, a content creator, that's not easy. To find someone that knows what you're doing. But when you do find someone that, you know, it's helpful. So someone that understands your business really does help out a lot. I mean, you want to talk about a variable side hustle? Try streaming or content creation. It's up and down. It's a roller coaster. Anyway, thank you very much, Amanda.
Yeah.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.